الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: ما الدنيا في الآخرة إلا مثل ما يجعل أحدكم إصبعه في اليم فلينظر بما يرجع، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected ulama, elders, young friends, brothers and sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This worldly life is very temporary. And the life hereafter is everlasting and eternal. Whatever comfort, luxury, enjoyment, satisfaction we experience in this world is all very temporary. In this world, nothing is definite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world not for this world, but for the life to come after we depart from this world. إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَإِنَّكُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. This world has been created for you, for your service. The paltry benefits of this world has been created to serve you. And you have been created to serve the Creator. our objective in life is to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we may be granted everlasting bliss in the next life. My very beloved nephew and our respected Imam Maulana Zakariya, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard him and may Allah ta'ala increase him in his ilm, in his amal, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him for the service of his deen. Whatever a few good words he said regarding this very insignificant, humble soul was out of his affection and love that he may have for his uncle. And I take his words as good omen, and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith al-Qudsi, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ana inda dhanni abdi bi," gives me great comfort when, despite not being worthy of any praise, a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises me. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I deal with my servant according to his thoughts." So I take it as a good omen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with Mawlana according to his good thoughts, and inshallah one day I will become according to his thoughts, and Allah will make me according to his thoughts. But in reality, it is not the case. I am fully aware of who I am, what I am, what good qualities I possess, if any, and what evil qualities I possess. And I ask all of you to make dua for me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me the tawfiq to carry out those actions which will one day grant me his pleasure and grant me everlasting salvation in the hereafter. The point that I'm trying to emphasize, my friends, is that when certain people praise us, we forget our reality. Because the objective of our life is the glitter of this world, not the hereafter. If the objective was the hereafter, then after observing someone praising us, we would have immediately turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we would have tried to assess our spiritual condition. Am I worthy of this praise? Is this my reality? Do I really possess these qualities that are being mentioned? Have I rectified my soul? Have I reached that status whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to me on the day of Qiyamah that you have come very clean, so I am giving you glad tidings of entry into Jannah?
Have I really reached that status whereby I can feel comfortable that when I depart from this world, I will definitely depart with Iman? Have I reached that status whereby I can feel comfortable that inshallah, when I go in the grave will definitely become a garden of paradise for me? If the life hereafter was the objective, then all these questions from morning till night would have crossed our mind. Am I doing enough for the hereafter? Am I doing enough to please my Creator? Am I living my life according to the wishes of the Creator? Are my aqaid correct? Are they strong? Are my ibadat, worship, devotions according to the wishes of my Creator? What about my muamalat, my dealing, my transactions? What is the condition of my akhlaq? What is the condition of my inner soul? Do I have sabr, patience? Do I have shukr, gratitude? Do I have tawakkul, reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I free from hasad, jealousy? Am I free from bughz, hatred? Am I free from kibr, pride and arrogance? Am I free from ujb, self-conceit? Am I free from bukhl, miserliness? And how do I behave with the other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With my wife, with my parents, with my children, with my brothers, with my sisters, the immediate members of my family, with my other relatives, with my neighbors, with my Muslim brothers, with my fellow human beings. And a step further, with the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the animal kingdom. If we were truly concerned about the life hereafter, if we truly believed from the depths of our hearts that this life is very, very temporary, this life is very, very temporary. And how temporary it is, only Allah knows. اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع عسى أن يكون موتك بغتة كم صحيح رأيت من غير سقم ذهبت نفسه الصحيحة فلتة. These couplets are attributed to Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, the Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith. He says, اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you leisure. He has granted you a few moments when you have nothing to do. You are free. So utilize these moments in performing some virtuous act. Asa an yakuna mawtuka baghtatan, for you do not know, your death may arrive suddenly. You may not get this opportunity again. Kam sahihin ra'aytu min ghayri suqmin, I have seen many healthy people who were never sick. ذَهَبَتْ نَفْسُهُ السَّحِيحَةُ فَلْتَةً. But when the call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arrived, they went to sleep at night in a healthy condition and could not wake up in the morning. This world is very, very temporary. How temporary, we are unaware. If this reality had sunk into our hearts, my friends, then although praise and good words from a fellow Muslim brother is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala is being so kind that He is concealing our faults and He is instilling into the hearts of our fellow Muslim brothers good thoughts regarding us. So it is a good omen that inshallah He will conceal our faults on the day of Qiyamah as well, and He will grant us entry into Jannah. Despite this being a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will not forget his reality. He will not forget his reality. He will immediately turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this concealment, and at the same time he will do istighfar. He will say to Allah, "Oh Allah, forgive my sins. For if I remain as I am, on the day of Qiyamah when you open my book of deeds, how will we face this Mawlana who has so much respect for me? So many good thoughts in his mind regarding me, when I have to face him on the day of Qiyamah with my book of deeds open. How will I show him my face?" A person cannot be confident and he cannot remain in peace until he departs from this world with iman. Innamal a'malu bil khawatim. It is the last and final moment that is important. Last and final moment that is important. If a person departs from this world with husna khatima, with a good ending, with iman, then he has acquired everything. And if a person acquires every favor in this world, but when he departs from this world, he departs without iman, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us. That is why when we go to perform the salatul janaza of the deceased, whilst asking for his forgiveness, we pray for ourselves as well. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fa'ihi ala al-islam. Oh Allah, for as long as you keep us alive on this path of Islam. وَمَنْ تَوَفَّيْتَهُ مِنَّا فَتَوَفَّهُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. And oh Allah, when you bring that time when we are departing from this world, then grant us the great favor of departing from this world with iman. Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is guaranteed husn khatima, a Nabi, a Prophet of Allah, is immune from sin. He is guaranteed husn khatima. Despite knowing this fact, he was so humble in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he used to make dua and he used to say, Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk wa 'allamtani min ta'wil al-ahadith. Oh Allah, you have crowned me with the crown of this world. You have made me the Aziz of Egypt. Practically, I am the king of Egypt. And you have crowned me with the crown of prophethood. You have granted me worldly honor and spiritual honor both. رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. O the creator of the heavens and the earth, أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. It is you who will take care of me in this world, in the remaining moments of my life, until I breathe my last. It is you who will take care of me in the grave. It is you who will take care of me on the day of Qiyamah until I am granted entry into paradise. You are the wali, you are the one who looks after me. Oh Allah, you have granted me so many ni'mat in this world, worldly ni'mat. You have granted me worldly bounties, spiritual bounties, you have made me a nabi. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You control everything. And you are the one who is looking after my well-being and welfare. I am making dua to you. Tawaffani Muslima. When you take me from this world, take me as a Muslim. Take me as someone who is obedient to you. Take me as someone who has totally submitted to you. Walhiqni bis-salihin. And in the hereafter, grant me the company of your pious servants. Until we breathe our last, because we do not know what will happen tomorrow, what will happen in the next second. We should always remain worried about the concluding moments of our life. Until we breathe our last and we go from this world with iman, we cannot feel content. Because the maqsad is not this world. If I am healthy, if I am wealthy, if I have a lot of friends, if I have status, if I enjoy influence, if I enjoy respect, if people revere me, that does not make me successful. Because the objective is not the success of this world. The objective is the success of the life hereafter. So despite acquiring everything in this world, a person will never feel content until he breathes his last with iman, with husn-e khatima, with wilayat and special friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allama Sayyid Suleiman Nadvi, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great scholar of the Indian subcontinent, a renowned scholar, he explains this with a very good similitude. He says that there are 9 to 10 slaves belonging to one master. Out of these 9-10 slaves, one is exceptional in qualities. He is very handsome, very good looking. He is very strong. He is very intelligent. The others one day begin to praise him. And they say to him that you are so handsome, you are so intelligent, you are so witty, you are so strong, that if the master puts you up for sale in the market, you will definitely bring £1,000,000. The other slaves are praising this exceptional slave of the master, and he is just sitting there with a sober face, very serious face. He doesn't get overexcited. He doesn't feel proud of himself. In a very humble manner, he is sitting there and all of the other slaves are praising him. So after a while, one of them says, why doesn't our praise make you happy? Why do you look worried? Why are you so serious? You are exceptionally gifted and we are praising the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you, and we are saying that the master looks at you very favorably, and if he puts this price on you, you will definitely fetch that price. Why doesn't it make you happy? So because he is very intelligent, he says that you are slaves just like me. Your putting a price on my head does not make me happy. The moment of happiness for me will be when the master comes and he says that you are worth £1,000,000. That is the time of happiness for you. And after explaining this, Allama Sayyid Suleiman Nadvi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that all the humans that are around us, they are all slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as we are. Their praising us is just like a slave praising a slave. It is of no value. Definitely, it is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that despite all our evils, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concealing our faults. He is concealing our faults.
Hazrat Maulana Haji Imdadullah Sahib Muhajir Makki Rahimahullah Ta'ala, a very pious personality, and a personality which was revered by all in his time, a very pious personality. He used to say out of humbleness, he was a very great personality, but he used to say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to disclose only one evil that lies within me, then never mind reverence for me, people would not want to even look at my face. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals our faults, is it not ni'mat? Is it not a bounty? And should we not take it as a good omen that inshallah Allah will conceal our faults in the grave as well? He will conceal our faults on the day of Qiyamah as well. On the day of Qiyamah, we are all slaves. When the master says on the day of Qiyamah, when we are brought in his court, when we are made to stand in his court, and the master says that I am very happy with you, you are an exceptional servant. You are an exceptional servant. You are my wali. You are my friend. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ I am saving you from the fire of Jahannam. وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ And I am granting you entry into Jannah. فَقَدْ فَاز That is the time to be happy. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ This worldly life is nothing but deceit. If we become happy for the successes that we experience in this world, then we are deceiving ourselves. It is the life hereafter that is important. The life hereafter is the only life that we should be concerned about. During the battle of Khandaq, when the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'een were digging trenches, in order to make the work easy, they were reciting certain couplets together. So they were working, digging away, and they were reciting couplets. نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا They were digging away, and to make things easy, they were singing these couplets. And whatever the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in did, due to the blessed company of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was full of lessons. Because they were nurtured by the greatest being in the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They were saying, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا We are those people who have made an allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we will continue striving for your deen from every aspect for as long as we are alive. نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا Arise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. How fortunate were those beings who were blessed with the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were blessed with the ziyarah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How blessed those eyes of Abu Bakr, eyes of Umar, eyes of Uthman, eyes of Ali, eyes of Bilal, who were granted the fortune to observe with those eyes the sovereign of both the worlds, the greatest in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Arrives the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in at that very moment were going through many difficulties. Poverty was at their doorstep. They could not find food to fill their bellies. In order to support their backs, they had to tie stones to their bellies, including the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He arrives. He sees the work hard and dedication of his companions. And he also observes their loyalty for him, because they are saying, despite these dire conditions, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِينَ أَبَدًا. Whatever the condition will be, whatever the condition may be, we have made allegiance to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we will continue to strive from every aspect for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became very happy. He became very happy and he joined in with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in in a very fashionable manner. They continued to recite, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِينَا أَبَدًا. When they stopped, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اللَّهُمَّ لَا عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشُ الْآخِرَةِ فَاغْفِرْ لِلْأَنصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَةِ. اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة. Oh Allah, I am overwhelmed by the loyalty and the dedication of my companions. Oh Allah, I wish to make dua for them. And I have either of two choices. Either I make dua for their dunya or dua for their akhirah. اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة. But oh Allah, you are fully aware that this worldly life is no life. The only life is the life hereafter. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Oh Allah, there is no life but the life hereafter. The only life is the life hereafter. So I will give preference to the everlasting life over the temporary life. I am making dua for them. Faghfir lil ansari wal muhajira. If any of my companions make any mistake, oh Allah, forgive them and do not destroy their life in the hereafter. They may go through any difficulty in this world, no problem. But we should not spoil their life hereafter. فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنْصَارِ وَالْمُحَيَرِ. And this is the wish that he expressed for his ummah. لَنْ فَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ تُبْسَتَ لَكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. If you become poor, I am not worried. I am worried that you may become wealthy. If you become poor, I am not worried. Poverty is not a problem. If my ummah becomes poor, if they are struck with poverty, I am not worried. وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ. I am concerned about you. أَنْ تُبْسَتَ لَكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. That you become very wealthy. كَمَا بُسِتَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Just as the people before you had become wealthy. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. Then you begin to compete against each other just as they did before you. فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. And then this world destroys you, this wealth destroys you from the spiritual aspect just as it destroyed the people before you. This is what I am worried about. The bounties of this world, if not treated correctly with the insight of the Sharia, insight of the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will destroy a person. It will destroy a person. Ya ayyuhal nas, inna wa'adallahi haq, fala taghurrannakumul hayatud dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people, inna wa'adallahi haq, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing but truth. And what promise has he made? He has made this promise that you will live in this world for a few moments only. He has made this promise that a day is going to come when you will have to return. He has made this promise that you will have to go into the grave and answer three questions. He has made this promise that on the day of Qiyamah you will have to stand in my court. He has made this promise that if you are given your book of deeds in your right hand, you will go in Jannah. If you are given your book of deeds in your left hand, you will go in Jahannam. You will be resurrected again. There is another life to come, the everlasting life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, this is not something that may happen, that may not happen. Inna wa'adallahi haqq. Everything that Allah has promised through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing but haqq. Nothing but haqq. And shaitan, who is always deceiving you, he deceives you by using the glitters of the world. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. So therefore make sure that the worldly glitters do not deceive you. Worldly glitters do not deceive you. Learn how to treat the glitters of the world. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Do not yet let the worldly glitters deceive you. یہی تجھکو دھن ہے رہوں سب سے بالا ہو زینت نرالی ہو فیشن نرالا جیا کرتا ہے کیا یوں ہی مرنے والا تجھے حسن ظاہر میں دھوکے میں ڈالا. جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے یہ عبرت کی جا ہے تماشا نہیں ہے. A poet, an Urdu poet says in a few couplets, یہی تجھ کو دھن ہے, this is your obsession, رہوں سب سے بالا, I want to remain number one, I want to remain at the very top. یہی تجھ کو دھن ہے رہوں سب سے بالا. You want to remain at the very top in everything, in wealth, in looks, in clothing, in cars, in mobile, in homes, in factories, in politics, in everything. You wish to be right at the top. یہی تجھ کو دھن ہے رہوں سب سے بالا ہو زینت نرالی ہو فیشن نرالا. You want to be unique in your beauty and looks. You want to be unique in your clothing. You want to be unique in your appearance. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create you for this world? That you have become obsessed with this one objective in life only? So the poet questions, جیا کرتا ہے کیا یوں ہی مرنے والا. The person who is one day going to depart from this world, is this the life that he should be spending? That obsessed with this thought, that I want to become number one. I want to remain right at the top in everything. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. You want everything in this world. The only thing you are not concerned about is the life hereafter. Tujhe husne zahir ne dhoke mein dala. The glitters of this world, the apparent exterior glitters of this world has deceived you. What looks like spring in this world is not spring, my friends, it is autumn. These glitters, husn-e zahir, the apparent beauty, the beautiful faces of young ladies attract us, the television sets attract us, the cinema is attracting us, wealth is attracting us, whether lawful, whether unlawful. Position, status in the community is attracting us. Everything is attracting us from all four sides, and they seem so beautiful, so beautiful, so much full of glitter. I wish, if only I could have this, if only I could have this, if only I could become this, if only I was like this, if only I could acquire this, all this glitter. And what are these glitters that we are after? All these unlawful glitters, what are they? They are a curtain between ourselves and Jahannam. Once somebody falls into these glitters, the next step is Jahannam. حُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. Shahawat, this is husn-e zahir. These are the glitters of the world. They are a curtain between us and Jahannam. Once we enter the glitter of this world, the second step is in Jahannam. So what looks like spring is not spring, it is autumn. Duniya ki rang reliyon pe na jana e dil. An Urdu poet says, Duniya ki rang reliyon pe na jana e dil. Oh heart, do not get attracted by the glitters of this world. Duniya ki rang reliyon pe na jana e dil. یہ تو خزاں ہے جو بانداز بہار آئی ہے. This is not spring. This is autumn that has come in the form of spring. It looks like spring, but as soon as you put your foot in it and you cross this curtain, you will go in Jahannam, and then you will realize that the item that I was assuming to be spring, it is not spring, it is autumn, the fire of Jahannam. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Make sure the worldly glitters do not deceive you. Shaitan is our enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Shaitan is your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. So make him your enemy. Accept him as your enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. Shaitan is the eternal enemy. So which shaitan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not command us to be somewhat friendly so that a time may come when his heart becomes soft and he will also become friendly. Within ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. How should you deal with your enemy, the human enemy, your Muslim brother? If he becomes your enemy, if he begins to hate you, how should you deal with him? Allah says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. If your enemy does evil to you, then return him with goodness. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. What will happen? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. The person who was your enemy yesterday will become your bosom friend. So as far as the humans are concerned, there is a possibility that the enemy may become friend. So therefore you should experiment love. It may work, he may become your friend after 1 week, after 1 month, after 1 year. But as far as shaitan is concerned, Allah says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. He is naturally your enemy. He will always remain your enemy. He is your eternal enemy. There is no possibility of him becoming your friend, him becoming your well-wisher. Therefore, with him, the style is different. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Always keep him your enemy. Become his enemy. And always accept this, that he will never become my friend. He will never advise me with anything that is good and that is benefiting for me. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. This is the Creator saying in the Quran that those people who begins to befriend the shaitan and become his party, and those people who may feel that no, he could also be a friend, he could also be a well-wisher. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ. He calls and leads this type of people towards the glitters of the world. And he says, look, there is enjoyment here, look, there is enjoyment here, look, there is enjoyment here, look, there is enjoyment here. Never ending glitters of the world, never ending enjoyments. And this continues until the final moment when he breathes his last in one of these glitters. لَيَكُونُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. And he becomes from the people of Jahannam. Shaitan is your enemy. So you must accept him as your enemy. Accept him as your enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He is an open enemy. He has declared enmity. He has said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. I will come from the front, I will come from behind, I will come from the right, I will come from the left. With various snares, various tricks, various deceits. And I will try my utmost to make sure, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, that majority of them go in the fire of Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Make sure he does not trick you, because he has many tricks. He has many tricks. He will make you commit a sin by showing the glitters. Showing the glitters. If you insist and if you are able to hold on to yourself and you say, no, this is unlawful, I cannot disobey my Creator. So he will come with a second trick. A few moments of fun only. Half an hour, 1 hour, you can always repent after. This is from Shaitan. You can always repent. Allah is forgiving, Allah is merciful. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ In regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make sure He does not deceive you. Use your intellect, do not overcome, do not let your emotions overpower you. Do not let your lust, your desires overpower you. Whenever there is a clash between your emotions and intellect, let intellect overrule and overpower your desires. Then only you will become successful. الْكَيِّسُ مَنْدَانَ نَفْسَهُ وَعَامِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ He is clever who controls his desire in every circumstance. وَعَامِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ And by controlling the desire, he makes preparation for the life hereafter. He is the clever one. And he is a fool. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ Who lets its nafs go towards its desire and after entering all the glitters, he just sits behind وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ And he says, Allah is غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Allah is غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Allah is غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ One lesson to remember. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب Allah punishes very severely. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ And Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. He is not only most merciful, most forgiving. He is also the one who punishes severely. نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Inform my servants that I am most forgiving, most merciful. وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ And my punishment is very severe, very painful. So what is the point to remember? Very important point and principle. When about to commit a sin, when we are being misled by shaitan to think that Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, make tawbah after you commit this sin, tell yourself, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ Allah punishes severely. Before committing a sin, you should never tell yourself that Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Whenever the opportunity arises to commit a sin, you should tell yourself only one thing, أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ What if you die whilst committing this sin? What if after committing the sin, you do not get that opportunity to say Astaghfirullah, to ask for forgiveness? What if this sin becomes a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatching away the tawfiq of tawbah and you are never able to make tawbah for the rest of your life? Allah shadeedul iqab. Allah is very severe in punishing. He may take away this tawfiq. He may not give you the opportunity to repent. He may snatch your soul away whilst you are committing this sin. Allah shadeedul iqab. Before committing the sin, before entering the glitters of this world, shaitan puts these thoughts in our minds. Don't worry, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Now once we have committed the sin, once we have committed the sin, overcome by our nafs, overcome by desire, now is the time to tell yourself, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Do not lose hope. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can still become clean. And once again, you can still reach that status where you were before. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. But what does shaitan do? Once we have committed the sin, shaitan creates despondency in our hearts. Oh, you have committed such a major sin. Now you are doomed to the fire of Jahannam. What is the point of tawbah? You have done tawbah 50 times before, 100 times before. There is no point. Just carry on committing these sins. Before committing the sin, the whisper of shaitan is, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. So we should be intellectual and we should tell ourselves, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, not now, at this moment. Allah shadeedul iqab. Allah will punish me severely. And after committing the sin, Shaitan says, Allah Shadeedul Iqab. What is the point of tawbah? You are committing this sin over and over again, and you are doomed to the fire of Jahannam. You are not going to get any enjoyment in the hereafter, so might as well enjoy this worldly life. At that time, you are supposed to tell yourself, Allah Ghafurur Rahim. Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ Shaitan is your enemy, and he will do anything to mislead you, and he will create all these thoughts in your mind to keep you engaged in the glitters of this world. So remember, he will use the glitters of this world as bait. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا Make sure the glitters of this world does not deceive you. This is the main lesson that you need to learn. The glitters of this world should not deceive me. They cannot deceive me. Because if the glitters of this world are successful in deceiving me, then I will be doomed to the fire of Jahannam. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam explained to us in detail that this world is very temporary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, this world is very temporary. Compared to the life hereafter, this world is nothing. Man ahabba dunyahu adarra bi akhiratihi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who makes this world his objective, then he will ruin his hereafter. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ آخِرَتَهُ أَذَرَّ بِدُنْيَاهُ And one who wishes to make the life here after his objective, then he will have to bring some ruin to his worldly life, to his worldly pleasures. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, reflect for a while. Reflect for a while. Should you be sacrificing the temporary for everlasting, or should you be sacrificing the everlasting for the temporary? He said, do not sacrifice the everlasting for the temporary, sacrifice the temporary for the everlasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ In relation to the life hereafter, the enjoyments of this world are very little. Very little. قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ Say, O Messenger of Allah, the paltry benefits and enjoyments and satisfactions of this world are very, very little. Tell them, O my Messenger, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبٌ This worldly life is like a small child playing with games like Lego. When we were very young, I still remember my childhood in a very small village in India. Going through a life of poverty, the parents did not have enough money to buy toys for us. So in the rainy season, we used to make toys of our own from the clay, from the wet clay. And those toys were so precious to us that if somebody broke that toy, it was as if we have lost the whole world. If that small toy was lost, it was as if we have lost everything. Similarly, in this country where parents can afford toys for the children, a small car, which to you and me has no value whatsoever, but to the child of ours, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, it is more precious than a Mercedes Benz. It is more precious than Rolls Royce. It is more precious than the palace of the king and the queen. It is very precious. Why? Because that is the limit of their intellect. Now, when I am grown up, I am above 40. When I think of those times, when I used to cry for those toys, which has no value, which had no value whatsoever, I think to myself that I was foolish. I was foolish. And I say to myself, how could you have been so foolish? What value did that toy have that you used to cry for it? You used to fight with your brothers and sisters for it. You used to try and snatch it away from other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِيدٌ. When we will go in the hereafter, and when we will look back at the worldly life, these Rolls Royce cars and these Mercedes Benz and these big buildings and big bungalows, these detached and semi-detached homes will hold similar significance to us. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبٌ. It is nothing but toys. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The only life is the life hereafter. Allah says the only life is the life hereafter. That is the only life. This life is not life. We have come here, we are just passing through. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اللَّهُمَّ لَا عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشُ الْآخِرَةِ. Oh Allah, the only life is the life hereafter. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid no attention to the worldly matters. He paid no attention. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam to me. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came to me and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to favor you with wealth. And Allah says that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you wish, I can convert the valley of Bataha, which is in Makkah Mukarramah, into gold. And you can spend as much as you want from that valley. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, Jibreel, tell my creator that I wish to remain poor. And I wish to live a life of that person who eats one day, so he is grateful to his creator, and remain hungry the following day. So he understands his humbleness and he understands his status as a makhluk, as a creature, and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. This is the type of life I want. He used to make dua, Allahumma ahini miskina. Oh Allah, for as long as you keep me in this world, keep me as a poor person. What a virtue for those who are not wealthy. He says, oh Allah, for as long as I remain in this world, I want to remain as a poor person, miskeen. وَأَمِتْنِي مِسْكِينَ. وَأَمِتْنِي مِسْكِينَ. Oh Allah, when you take me away from this world, take me as a miskeen. Take me as a miskeen. In our day-to-day language, especially the Arabs, when they feel sorry for somebody, when they feel that he has no status, no position, no intellect, nothing, they say, وَاللَّهِ مِسْكِينَ هَذَا. Wallahi hada miskin. The person who has nothing in this world is called miskin. So he says, oh Allah, for as long as you keep me in this world, keep me as a miskin. When you take me from this world, take me as a miskin. Wahshurni fi zumratil masakin. And when you resurrect me on the day of Qiyamah, resurrect me with those people who are miskin. What a virtue for the masakin. They will be resurrected with the messenger of Allah. And do you think that Rahmatul Lil Alameen will let them go in the fire of hell? For himself, he chose maskanat, to remain without wealth. For his ummah, he says, Lal fakra akhsha alaykum. You become poor, I am not worried. But wealth I am worried about, because wealth can destroy your hereafter. If you suffer in this world, and you are granted comfort in the hereafter, I am not worried. But if you are granted comfort in this world and you suffer in the hereafter, I will not be able to tolerate. I am your messenger, I am your spiritual father. The one who had affection and feeling for those non-Muslims who were tirelessly, torturing them. How much love and affection do you think he has for those who have accepted him as their messenger? Each and every hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emanates from his heart and tongue with this love and with this affection and with this feeling as the foundation and the basis. So we should listen very carefully to every hadith of his, and we should pay full attention to what he is trying to say. and we should try to carry out his commands, because it is only his teachings that will grant us success in this world and the hereafter. For himself, he says, I want to remain as a miskin. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, the last night that he spent in this world, I did not have oil to light the lamp in the house. I had to borrow some oil from somebody else. Allah accepted his prayer. He left as a miskin. And what did he wish for his progeny? Maybe for himself, he wished to remain poor without much wealth, because he was very strong in iman and yaqeen. And maybe for his ummah, he wished that if they remain poor, it doesn't really matter, but they should not become very wealthy, because I fear that wealth will destroy their iman if they do not learn how to treat the wealth. Maybe for his family he wished something else. What did he make dua for his family? He said, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. And in another riwayah, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin kafafa. Oh Allah, grant my progeny to come until the day of Qiyamah sustenance that will suffice them, not more. Sustenance that will suffice them, so that they are not disgraced. Because sometimes if a person sinks into poverty, then that may also lead him to kufr. Kadir fakru an yakuna kufran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pay much attention to this worldly life. One day, Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, I went to visit the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I entered the room where he was, he had just got up from a mat made of palm leaves. And because there was no sheet or any other item on that mat had made marks on his body. This is Sayyidul Mursaleen. No sheet, no quilt, nothing. And if he had just indicated to his companions, what could they have not given him? What could they have not given him? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in a similar situation, went into the room of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for a while he just stood there struck with wonder. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying down on a mat, saying his body has got marks from that mat. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I looked around into the room to see his furniture, to see the belongings that the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of the old, the Anbiya had. And when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw that, there was nothing in the room that was of significance. So he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Byzantines and the Persians, who are enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they enjoy so much luxury, and you are the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you live in this condition. Because of the love Umar had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made this statement. O Messenger of Allah, you are the Messenger of Allah and you live in this poverty. Why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of his treasures? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately got up from his resting posture and he said, Afi shakkin anta ibn al-Khattab? O Ibn Khattab, are you in any kind of doubt regarding this deen, regarding what this deen will bring for us? أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. Your enjoyments were confined to the worldly life only. وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. You have acquired all the satisfaction that you were supposed to. فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. And today, you have the punishment of disgrace waiting for you in Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that, oh Umar, this world is not the place of enjoyment. The place of enjoyment is the life hereafter, that is to come. So Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this condition, he said, oh Messenger of Allah, if you permit me, I would like to bring a quilt and place it on this mat so that it gives you some comfort. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, oh Abdullah ibn Masud, mali walid dunya, what have I got to do with the worldly luxuries? Mali walid dunya, what have I got to do with the worldly luxuries? Ma ana wad dunya illa karakibin istadalla tahta shajaratin summa raha wa tarakaha. He said, my example with this worldly life is like that traveler who is traveling, and while traveling he stops under the shade of a tree for a moment to rest, and after he has rested he leaves the tree and he moves ahead along in his journey. He said, this world is like a tree for me. I am just resting for a few moments. My destination is waiting in Jannah. إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فِتْنَةً وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّةِ الْمَالِ. For every ummah, for every nation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created an element of test. Test and trial, test and exam. To test them, Allah had created some element for that nation. What is the element of test for our ummah? وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّةِ الْمَالِ, the wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوذَةً مَا سَقَى كَافِرًا مِنْهَا شُرْبَةَ مَا. If this world was worth the value of a wing of a mosquito, wing of a fly, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole world. Today we feel proud of a beautiful car. If we buy a car worth 5,000, 10,000 pounds, we go over the moon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the whole world, the kingdom of the kings, the wealth of the countries, whatever is hidden in the gold mines and pearl mines, everything that this world contains, if it was worth in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the value of a wing of a mosquito, then due to this value, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have granted a sip of water to the one who rejects him. مَا سَكَ كَافِرًا مِنْهَا شُرْبَةً. But he is giving them this world because this world has no value. It is filthy. He is giving it to everybody. Let us prepare for the life hereafter, my friends. Let us prepare for the life hereafter. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants wealth, if He does not grant wealth, do not run after the wealth. Strive and acquire enough to sustain you. An average house, average furniture, enough for you to sustain your children, your wife, your parents, your family, look after their deeni well-being, their education, average house, average clothing, average car. Remain content. Say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. O Allah, grant me contentment on what you have granted me. Laysal ghina an kathratil arad. A person does not become wealthy because of the amount of wealth that he has. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى الْقَلْبِ. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى الْقَلْبِ. The real wealthy is he whose heart is wealthy. For example, a person earns 200, 300 pounds per week. He is comfortable in his home, whether it's his own property or a rented property. There are so many people these days who live in rented property and they are content with the condition. So 300 pounds, 200 pounds, he is content, he feeds his family, he feeds himself, enough to pay for the rent, enough to pay for the bills, and he is happy. And that thought never enters his mind, that I should look for a job where I can acquire 350 pounds. That means this person's health, this person's heart has accepted this fact that I am not in need. So this person is wealthy. This person is wealthy because he does not feel that he is in need. And there is another person who owns a factory worth 5 million pounds. His annual income is 500,000 pounds. He's got brand new 4 or 5 Mercedes cars. He's got people working for him, 100 people, 150 people. But deep in his heart, he feels that, I wish I had another factory. This person is poor. He is not wealthy. Because he himself accepts this fact that I am still in need of more. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَفْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ. If a person has lot of wealth, that does not mean he is wealthy. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ الْقَلْبِ. If your heart becomes wealthy, then you are wealthy. Your heart tells you that I am not in need. And there are so many average working class people who never entertain this thought that I wish I had income of more than what I am having at the moment. They feel happy. They have a routine cycle. They wake up in the morning, go to work, come back, whatever they get, they have set budget and they spend and they are happy. So earn wealth without sacrificing deen through halal sources. If Allah grants you more than what you need, then this is also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah grants you more than what you need without sacrificing any command of Allah, this is also a ni'mat of Allah. You will be able to spend on poor people, you will be able to spend on widows, you will be able to spend in religious causes, in charity. And always remember that the objective is the life hereafter. So try to earn halal livelihood without becoming greedy, without breaking any commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not have what your neighbor may have, do not feel deprived. Do not feel deprived. What was the thinking of the Sahaba? What was the thinking of the Sahaba? The Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, the likes of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain abundance of wealth in the time of Umar radiyallahu anhu, in the time of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, and the likes of Musab ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had passed away in the time of poverty. He was martyred in the battle of Uhud. And he was deprived of even a complete kafan. The Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in say that if he covered his head, then his feet opened. And if he covered his feet, his head opened, his face opened. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, cover his head, cover his face. And put some izkhir, a type of plant in the Arabian world, on his feet and bury him. So there were some people, some Sahaba, who were the likes of Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, who gave all the sacrifices, but did not see any comfort or wealth in this world. And there were others, the likes of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, who lived till the time of Umar, till the time of Uthman, and they saw all the blessings in this world as well. Did they feel happy about it? No, they did not feel happy about it. How did they feel? The thought was that Musab ibn Umair was better than me. Musab ibn Umair was better than me. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting me part of my reward in this very world. And Musab ibn Umair was not given any reward in this world. So what he will acquire in the hereafter, I will not acquire. This was the mentality and thinking of the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So friends, whatever Allah has granted us, remain content. Try to acquire wealth through halal resources without breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst earning, do not forget the rights that lie, the responsibilities that lie upon your shoulder in regard to your own spiritual well-being, in regard to your own deeni well-being, in regard to your family's deeni well-being, in regard to your children's well-being. Today is the
problems that we are facing in this society, the gang culture and this and that.
We are facing this problem because the parents have no time for their children. They have no time for their children. They are not nurturing their children Islamically, the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told.
And always remember that heart should be given to your iman and the body should be given to your Islam. And wealth will stay in our pockets. Wealth will stay in our bank accounts. It will not enter our hearts. As long as we are able to do this, inshallah, this world, this wealth, these glitters will not destroy our life in the hereafter.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. I will recite the verse of the Quran again and translate before concluding.
Ya ayyuhannas, O people, inna wa'adullahi haqq. Remember, whatever Allah has promised is nothing but truth.
A day is going to come when we will depart. A day is going to come when we will go in the grave. A day is going to come when we will have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
A day is going to come when we will have to cross the sirat. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala whom I used to say, كَيْفَ نَفْرَحْ.
How can we rejoice? Allahu Akbar. If you listen carefully to these words, my friends, only this statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas is enough to bring the worry of the hereafter in our hearts. He used to say, كَيْفَ نَفْرَحْ.
How can we rejoice?
وَالْمَوْتُ أَمَامَنَا وَالْمَوْتُ وَرَاءَنَا وَالْقُبُورُ أَمَامَنَا كَيْفَ نَفْرَحْ وَالْمَوْتُ وَرَاءَنَا وَالْقُبُورُ أَمَامَنَا وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّنَا مَوْقِفُنَا وَعَلَى الصِّرَاطِ مُرُورُنَا. He says, how can we rejoice when death is coming from behind, when qabr is in front, when we will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we will have to cross the pool sirat?
How can we rejoice?
Because we will only know after the crossing of the pool sirat whether we have become successful or not. Inna wa'adullahi haqq. The promise of Allah is nothing but truth. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Make sure this deceiver does not deceive you, the shaitan. And he will deceive you by using the glitters of this world. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. So let not the glitters of the world deceive you. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ. Shaitan is your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. So make him your enemy. If you do not make him your enemy, he will use the glitters of this world to invite you towards Jahannam. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُ حِزْبَهُ.
He invites those people that follow his advices.
لَيَقُلُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّيِّدِ. Towards that path which will take them into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the true understanding and the correct understanding of deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand the reality of this world and the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.